Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:51 Central African time, and at that time of the morning where we join Ahmed Parak, Councillor Ahmed Parak, on his segment Straight Talk with Ahmed. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and tell me, how are you doing this fine beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, alayna salam to all our radio listeners. What a beautiful Sunday morning, Shafat. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
No, no doubt. And you remind me of the ayat of the noble Quran, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which is it of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Urdu mein kehte hai kis kis nemati apki rab ki jutlaoge. Now, Ahmed, when you look around, before we get into kafan dafan, I see that DA made the head of your party, your chairman, cough up. Yeah, they say, you belittle some of our members, and what is it, 450,000 or 500,000 rand and so forth. And then one more thing to clear up was the statement that was made regarding, Gaza and, the state of Israel. And many said, hey, you know what, there was your leader making a statement in support of the Zionist state of Israel. Perhaps you could clear those things up, Ahmed.
First and foremost, President Herman Mashaba did make a statement, and I'm witness to it because I was one of them with other of our colleagues to phone him and tell him that, you know what, we need to make a statement. People want to know where's our stance, and he made it very, very clear in that. I can send it through to you as well as all our listeners. He made it very clear at that time that he says we going to not take any sides with Israel or Hamas. We want to stay neutral in this issue here, because this thing is very, very sensitive. And that's about the 2 or 3 line letter that he sent, and it was circulated all over the country, and I've got that in my with me as well, and I got a hard copy as well. Subsequently, there was another a letter that went into the Twitter from one of our mischief makers, I would say, to say that we support Israel. So that is, it was completely the opposite from what Herman Mashaba said. So to clear the air, the Herman Mashaba, as the president of the organization, I stand by that, what he has said, that he is not taking any side, whether it is Israel or the Palestinians. He's staying neutral in this year because this matter is very, very sensitive. And that's the standpoint that Herman Mashaba took. And I've got that with me, and I've got a hard copy. But, in politics, you always have troublemakers that, they twist things around just to, because Action SA is one of the fastest growing party around at the moment. So that is the biggest fear for the DA. And this is what they do, Shafak. This is the best they do, is try and make problems, and nothing but problems they make, sure.
Now, well said there, Ahmed, and Jazakallah Khaira for clearing that with us. I mean, talking about mischief makers, I mean, look at the propaganda about the things that are happening in Gaza, and this type of material that the Zionists are producing. And, you'd be amazed that so many people want to believe it, Ahmed. What's your thoughts on that?
100%. You'll find Al Jazeera is banned from some of our Muslim countries. Why? For the same reason, because they don't want to hear the truth. That is the problem. And this is where it's been all orchestrated by the West, how to say what they want to say. They'd only give you the good part. And now I've just got a tweet just before you could call me for our radio interview. I've just got a message that the Hamas is going to slaughter those captured people one by one. Is going to slaughter them. So whether it's true or not true, we don't know. But they're not saying the amount of people that they are killing, our women and children, 41 kilometers by about 12 meters in width. 6,000 bombs went into that small area. You know how small area that is. You're looking at it's like going from Durban to Springbok Beach twice, 21 k's, 21 k's. it's slightly more than that. Going to say toti and back and forward from toti and back, that will give you your 47K, and you'll see a small 6,000, not one, two bombs, 6,000 bombs, small women and children, and this is it. But the people of Palestine, they're standing there. For them to take Shahadat is like nothing. So, you know, like they have, the Israelis are fighting for death, but we don't fight for death, Shafa.
No, you said that brilliant indeed, and the term they use, slaughter, I mean, no Muslim will ever do that. Execution will be done, you know, the Sharia way, but, you know, Allahu Alama, all this too we need to take with a pinch of salt. Allah make it easy, and Alhamdulillah. I mean, before we get into a few other issues regarding Palestine, let's talk about Kafan Dafan. What's the latest there, Ahmad?
Shafar, alhamdulillah, everything is quiet. I just had a call early this morning. There was an accident in Point Road somewhere. One of our brothers have passed on, and he's at the Phoenix Mortuary, which I'm busy sorting it out at the moment. So, inshallah, we get that body quick as release, quick as body, so that brother can be buried quick as possible. That is what, you know, my job is, to make sure that whenever there's any bodies in any one of the mortuaries, it is my duty to make sure that we get the body out of the morgue as quick as possible. Then the other issue is we got unclaimed bodies in the morgue. That is causing a big problem for us, because with the load sharing and everything else, you know, the thing is coming very, very severe at the moment. So this thing has gone to national level to sort this problem out. So this is where I'm involved as well. So that is another issue that we are busy sorting out. Then last week, we had a very, very fruitful meeting at the Al-Ansar Hall, where all the black Muslims in all the townships were complaining that they were having problems in terms of burials. So I was one of them there at that meeting. And then we showed them that in Mashu, we have already put a model for our brothers and sisters in Mashu, where we got a fully fledged burial society that is handling for the Mashu area. Salim Qazi has given one of his vehicles to them, and now they're on their own feet. And Phoenix Goroba is assisting them in terms of ghusls. So we are looking now for a small place where we'll be opening their own center, where you'll be able to do the janaza namaz there, do the ghusl there. If people can come, they can. One section will be for the men, one section for the ladies, where they can make the yasin khatam there, and then make the janaza namaz and take it to the cemetery quick as possible. There is a cemetery in the heart of Mashu that is owned by the Yunus Duma Delta Electrical family, which we have taken Islamic Burial Council when I was in charge. We have taken it over, we renovated that. So I'm trying to put that cemetery for the brothers in Mashu, so they got their own cemetery as well. So inshallah, Allah wills, that we'll be doing that in shortly. There is a little bit of a gray area because there's some mafias in that, because it is in a location. They want some ransom when you want to bring the body there, because for protection fees and all that. I had a meeting with them, which I'm busy sorting out at the moment, Shafar.
Yes, Alhamdulillah, the program is a straight talk with the Councillor Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, Alhamdulillah, many messages are coming through here. And this one says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmad, the sewage problem is still continuing. It's getting worse. Come to our town, Spingo Beach. It's becoming like a cesspool. Please, Ahmad, the councillors here are hopeless. Come and help your old hometown. Ahmad, your response?
Shabbat, inshallah, I want to make a trip sometime tomorrow there and set up a meeting with Hussein and see where the problem is. In fact, I had a similar problem. I was really battling from Friday as well as yesterday. The whole most of my day yesterday was on the road yesterday with my jacket on, and I was sorting out the same sewer issue. Unfortunately, all our drainage and manholes are actually overflowing. The problem is that because it hasn't been serviced, and now we have a major issue. You know, we are already in court. In fact, I think that matter is coming before court sometime in early January, where that thing is going to be set down for trial. We bring the city to his knees to tell them that in no uncertain term we want the judge to make an order for this Sue issue to be sorted out quick as possible, because now it's also impacting into our rivers as well as into our ocean, and you know it's making it difficult, and the festive season is around the corner in the next almost 2 months from now. Then we're going to have a major problem like what we had last year. So this is an issue. And if you take like Musgrave yesterday where I was, and the raw sewer was actually coming into our car park, and alhamdulillah, I managed to sort that out. So we have to put a team, and we have to use our own influence with our people in Spingo Beach, wherever they are, try and get assistance from the community as well with the city, because you're looking for honeysuckers. We don't have enough honeysuckers. We're needing jet machines to flush all this raw sewer out from one manhole to another. That's how it normally works. So you need labor, you need the honeysucker, you need jetting machines. Unfortunately, we're not geared up as we speak in the council to assist everyone, because there's thousands of complaints on a day-to-day basis we're getting. So, you know, who do you satisfy? Whenever somebody is putting major pressure, it goes to national government or goes to the province, the city manager or the head of department jumps and he's going to put somebody in that area to sort it out. So this is it. Yesterday I had to use actually some private contractors as well as the city's contractor, and that's the only way I got it done. So this is what we have to do. We got no option, but our hands are tied in this case here. But we're doing our best, Shafa.
Firoz says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. It seems as if the councillors or Itikweni only has money for partying and all these other wasteful things. But when it comes to really getting to the nitty-gritty of repairing the city, then they're out of money. What is wrong with them, Ahmad Parak?
Shafa, you know, they need, you see, in anything, if you got a company and if your financial officer is weak and you don't have a good leader, you can't run a country, you can't run a city. And we got, to be honest, in our city, we got some ajams there that don't know what they are doing. You know, if you put me, Chapat, you know what, you know, you put me anywhere, you put me in a bush, put me in the heart of Nangoma, there's nothing else but in bush there. I will make something happen there. I will try and cultivate that land and do something and start making things happen. It's the same thing in council. They don't know. One thing they don't know is how to make a plan. There is a problem. You have to make a plan. Like you on radio this morning and you got a problem with one of your gadgets there. What you do, you must have a backup. Somehow or the other, you'll make a plan to switch over. You know the show will carry on from 7 to 9 this morning. The show must carry on because you committed for that duration from 7 to 9. You know, end of the day, you have to make a plan. The problem is, we in a city, if we don't have it, tough luck. That's what they are saying. This is not on. You have to make a plan and get things moving. If I didn't stand there in Musgrave yesterday, nothing could have happened. It's the same thing. The money is there. It's the way they're putting the plan together, and there is no plan. That is the problem.
Well said, Ahmad. Plan B and Plan C. If there's no Wi-Fi and I know what to do, I can Skyfy and all. You and I are very alike. I know that. Well, I'm looking at the message here. It says, Ahmad, let's be honest. The mayor that you have in Itikweni is a bully and he's two-faced. He plays the game with the Lanis. He gives a big smile. But when he's sitting with his mafias, he's doing the real dirty tricks. Come on, Ahmad. Get rid of this man. He's a two-faced bully. Ahmad?
Shafat, unfortunately, we brought a vote of no confidence in him. You see, once you cut the head, then you know you at least want to get somewhere. Then everybody else will start waking up. But unfortunately, the ANC and the EFF now, because they have like virtually merged together, so that is the problem. We get outnumbered, even if we take the numbers what we have and the smaller parties with the DA, IFP and all, we still can't take that out because they beat us with the numbers here. That is our biggest problem we are facing.
Yeah, that's a big challenge for everyone. So, you know, everyone's saying, vote out the ANC, vote out the ANC. But is it true that the DA wants to have an alliance with the ANC so that in the forthcoming election, they will have the coalition ruling important positions, Ahmad?
That is very true, Shafat. What they are doing at the moment, because on the both sides, DA is losing ground as well as ANC is losing by the minute and by the seconds. Their own people saying, you know what, they did nothing for us. When you get like just under 48% of the people are unemployed in a country, then it talks for itself. Then you get the census board come and give us a big story. Last week, we got 62 million people in South Africa, but that is not a true reflection. How do they get that figure when there's so much of, they say, only 3 million foreigners in this country? That is, you know, that is a hogwash. It is more than that, because end of the day, if you take the foreign national in the country, every drawer you open, couple of them popping out, Shafat. How do you account for that? So this is a problem we are faced with. So end of the day, you have to start, when you clean up, you have to clean up from one side. DA is on the other side, is losing ground. The only place they're holding tight is Western Cape, because all the whites are there, and that's where they're strong, and that's it. Anywhere else, they got no chance. And the ANC is losing by the seconds now, and they're losing every day. They're losing the foot soldiers. They're just tired. They're just moving away from the, because end of the day, nothing is happening. Their own people are suffering. That is the problem, Shafat.
Ahmad, I'm looking at this message. It says from Bhai Mullah. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. I know you very well. You did help us quite a few times. Allah bless you for that. Ahmad, you talk about the census done, which is a big joke. You are absolutely right. Why only 3 million foreigners? You know why, Ahmad? Because the others have got the illegal documents via Home Affairs. I'm telling you, check it out. They will be voting the next election, and you won't be surprised if someone from Zimbabwe will be your next president. Ahmad, Bhai Mullah has got something there. What's your thoughts?
Bhai, I agree with Bhai what he said. The 3 million is a joke, number one. Number two is Malema and the government of Zimbabwe, if I'm not mistaken, Malema is making all this documentation for the foreign nationals from Zimbabwe for him to have the numbers in government. That is it. How they're getting it, only Allah knows. But the problem is, this is what is happening at the moment.
Look at this message. It says, what about the Filipino that want to take over the Durban Harbour and turn it into something powerful? But I believe ANC in KZN doesn't want this. Why wouldn't they want progress, Ahmad? That's a good question.
Shafat, this Filipino harbour issue was on the table long, long ago. The city as well as the ANC is dragging their feet to get this document signed for one reason, because they are not being looked after. That is the problem. This should have been done. If you play the game with the ANC, in no time they should have signed the document and that the Filipino. But the Filipinos are saying, no. We want a clean, straight, upright, ethical transaction to be done, and this is how we want to be doing it. So that's where the problem is. And if you take, as you speak today, Shafat, there is in a region of about 70 ships outside our harbour waiting to come into our harbour to discharge. Now, what happens in a case? Everybody is running late with their Christmas stocks. The supply in South Africa, a lot of our goods come from overseas. That is a big problem at the moment. So if you look at it, in fact, we're doing a thorough investigation, and we want to expose the city as well as national government, because now we're losing revenue, because now these ships are, because every time the ship anchors outside Durban Harbour, it's costing the agent money. So, you know, at the end of the day, they want to say, we rather don't go to South Africa. So you want to be deprived of ships that is big business for this country. They will be depriving of them that business as well.
Absolutely. I'm looking at Babu's message. He says, Ahmad, the other day I was driving down Durban and I was still shocked. The buildings are still hijacked. The buildings are dilapidated. Durban is changed to color. It's filthy. It's murky. It's dirty. It's shocking. When I grew up in Durban, it was like a Jannat on earth. Ahmad, how you respond to Babu there?
Shafat, Babu is, you know what I can say, everyone we singing the same song, Durban is filthy. The hijacked buildings, yes, they put a task team now to start clearing up all the, like what they did in Joburg, they have started this in the city as well, to start it. They got a special team, which they call the Red Ants. They go out there, they charge that whoever is building it is, they go and charge that person who is holding the building. They want to charge him for clearing all that, and they want to lock it up, and they want to start it. They have already started to do that now. Problem is, city is so dirty, nobody wants to come to the city anymore. Previously, you used to take a drive to the beachfront. You don't even go to the beachfront anymore because nobody wants to go there because it's filthy, dirty, and this is the problem that we are faced with. End of the day, there's nothing nobody can do unless there's a regime change in the city, as well as we need to move them out. Unfortunately, the election has already took place. Next month will be the first 2 years is gone. They got another 3 years. All those guys, councillors are there. Some of them are Shafat. You don't want to know. They know us. They don't even have a vehicle. They are blacklisted. How do you become a councillor when you don't have a vehicle? You can't do. How you want to service the people on the ground in your area, in your ward? I can't just understand how this is happening. Only Allah knows. You know, we're fighting and fighting. You know what? End of the day, we need good, upright leaders where we can take them on. People need to start saying, come, let's go and do something about it. And like what we are saying, let's pick South Africa. That is the only way, Shafat.
I've also said that, Ahmad, looking at this message, it says, Ahmad Parak, are you aware as what's happening here in Durban? We moved away from Sapingo Beach many, many years ago. We are living in the beachfront. Rats all over, Ahmad. I believe they're in our sewage system and they are breathing wild. Also, Ahmad, what do we do about this rat infestation? We also believe that there is a lot of diseases which the municipality is not telling us about. We are living here in the beachfront as in a marooned island. We can't even go and enjoy the wheel anymore. It's taken over by those from Nigeria and the criminals. Ahmad, how you respond to marooned in the beachfront there, Ahmad?
Shafat, the beachfront is like virtually been overtaken by the foreign nationals at the moment, that we agree 100%. That's number one. That is a big problem that we face. How do you get a soup beachfront like Durban beachfront being taken over, not clean, infested with rats and mice from all that? This is happening just because of the raw sewage they breathe into all these the drainage system. Our stormwater, they breed in there. You know, yesterday when I was uplifting the manholes, the amount of cockroaches, big khajur sized cockroaches, you get big ones. So far, I was like shocked. I said, you know, this is what happens if your raw sewage has created all the problems that we had, which we are faced with.
Yeah, Ahmad, as you said, you know, I can see that brother laughing there in Khajur side. Yeah, you get that. Maybe you're talking about the Majdul Khajur, the big one, Ahmad.
That's correct, Shabbas.
Hey, people, bad, bad, bad indeed. Look at this message. It says, Ahmad Parak, we need a whole paradigm shift for this country. We need to give them something. We need to give them deen. Come on, Ahmad, you get it done. We will help you any amount. Ahmad, there's a brother Shabbas saying, give them deen, Ahmad.
There's, you know, we have already started that. In fact, Alhamdulillah, we are started in, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of government schools are being redundant. Their schools are like completely wrecked up. We are now saying, take over these schools, make them into ulum, make Hafiz al-Quran in those schools there, fix those schools up, and make them alim, like how you got Spingo Beach, Campertown, Marisburg, Taqdeed al-Quran. You got make them self-sufficient, because Shafat, the time is coming. and we missing the boat. And I'm telling to all our listeners, take Grey Street Masjid Shafat. You go there for Jummah. At one stage when you used to go there in the old days, 99.99% were Indians, Muslims. Today you go there, 80 to 85% are black Muslims. Because that's reality. Now you must face reality. So we have to do something about it. End of the day, black Muslims are coming into the fold of Islam. We have to start catering for them. So what are we doing? That is the point. I'm saying in the rural area, put for them the small SSMEs. Put the factories up for them. Make them self-sufficient in their own area. Build them up there so they don't have to come to the city where they don't have to pay 20 rand for transport. That is the way we should be doing. Not like how at the moment is happening. You know, people are coming to the city here because there's nothing happening in the rural area. They're coming here because they need to fend for themselves here so far.
Now, looking at this message, it says, Ahmad Tarak, you are the man that has ta'alluq with everyone, especially with our ulama friends. You also have a lot of influence. Why haven't many of them not spoken against the Israelis' atrocity on the Palestinians? This Jummah, I was said, 60% didn't do it. How true is that, Ahmad? You are a man of truth. You should be addressing this issue also. Ahmad, your response to that contribution?
Shafan, if you have a split in our ulama, within our ulamas, if you take, there's a split already among our ulamas and all that. If you take Jamiatul Ulamas, all the ulama councils and all, they the split. We all know that. Nobody can deny that they the split. There's a different school of thought. There's everything. The end of the day, we are Ya ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, finish and class. That is the standpoint. But the long and the short, there have to be a way to bring all the ulamas together, whatever the differences are, bring them together and say, now, this is the way. And if we cannot unite, how you expect the international world to unite as well, Shaman? That is our biggest problem because, you know, that fellow will say, that fellow is torture, that fellow is saying, that fellow is there, he did this, he did that. And if you get the big organizations to, the older folks don't want to release. I'm saying, I believe in one thing. Anybody can take my work over with the greatest of pleasure. I'm prepared to sacrifice 2 years of my time teaching that brother, sister, whoever it is, to come and take over and do the work. Because end of the day, one day I'm not here, there's a legacy left behind. He took from Ahmad Tarak. Today he's carrying on the legacy of Ahmad Tarak. That's what we are saying. Bring the youngsters, but they don't want to come. That is the problem, Shafar.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the money. People say, make more. I mean, you're sacrificing so much, Ahmad. And you know your reward, the salary you'll get it in the Akhirah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will give it to you. Looking at more messages coming through, says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat, Ahmad Tarak, really great show. You are talking issues that are really very relevant in the Ummah. One thing I'd like to say, Ahmad is making a great point, the last point that he made, that we need a unity amongst ourselves. But let me put this on record, that I really admire Mufti A.K. Hussein for his stance on politics and his Sharia, and he's a man of truth, and he stood the test of time. Allah bless him now and forever. Jazakallah khair for that. He says, yeah, Ahmad Tarak, many of us are thinking very deeply. We need to make a move. How would a Muslim lobby work in this country? But I'm a bit skeptical, as you earlier on alluded to the fact that we are not united. Ahmad, how will the Muslim lobby work here? But the brother is listening to you, and the point that you made is unity, strength, but we have a lot of cracks in that unity talk, Ahmad.
Shafar, unity is strength. Secondly, if the brother is thinking they want to leave, Shafar, if you leave from South Africa, you go to Dubai, you go to UK, you go to America, you go to Canada, Australia, is your Allah different? There's no one Allah we got. Whichever country you go, tawakkal Allah first, wherever you are. If you have full faith in him, and then you got no problems. Whichever country you want to go, it's not going to change anything, Shafat. And to go to any other country, you need a lot of money today, because they're not just going to take you in. Like what you can do in South Africa, you can ask anybody in the world, Shafat, what we got in South Africa, we must make lakh shukar that Allah has blessed this country. When it comes to deen, we got better deen than some of the Arab countries in the world. That is it. The problem is, because in this city, in this country, we not unite. If we can unite ourselves, we won't have a problem. We are on the right path here, and this is a country. It is good for us, and you can still make money here, and we can. We got right of religion, right of culture. We got everything. I'm giving you a small scenario, Shafat. We had in the city coffers now, we had money for art and culture. Shafat, you tell me, do we have art and culture in Islam? In the city alone, if you take Basha Pir, if you take Hazrat Sufi Saab, you take all the Awliya Allahs in the country, yeah, right? You had the month of Rabiul Awal will finish, I think, in the next day or so. The biggest legacy of mankind in the world, Shafat, how better legacy can you get than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You mean to say nobody could apply to come and take that money from our city coffers and do something in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some education or something, when everything is there? Not what I'm singing a song for the last 2 years, Shafat. It's like a broken record. Come, take anybody want. Nobody is writing one letter or come to me and say, you know what, help me. I don't understand how to do this letter to get extract some money under the art and culture for our Muslim community. There's so many black Muslim, Indian Muslim. We can use this fund for an institution in any one of our Muslim institutions. Not one is coming, Shafat. How much more can a person do? You tell me that, Shafat.
You know, you make a point and you talk about, you know, we look at our history as Indian Muslims from the star, you know, okay, in Cape Town, you got the slave stories and all those, copper scholars coming from Malaysia and so forth, Indonesia, settling there, and they have made an indelible impression there. But we're looking at our South African history, the Indian Muslim generally, you know, had founded all the organizations and have founded all the massages and so forth. And, you know, now you have, quite a sizable amount of Muslims coming from African origin. And as you said, most of the Africa is here in South Africa. Are they forming their own bodies? Because I've been led to believe that the Somalis are very powerful as an entity, as an Islamic entity within themselves. And so too are maybe the Pakistanis and a few other groups, and even the Egyptians, they keep within themselves and not looking for help from other Muslim groups. So are we being more fragmented here than ever before, Ahmad?
You're 100% right there. Shafat, the Somalis, they even got their own bank in Joburg. They don't go, they're not interested in going into our Western banks and all. They're saying, you know what, we don't need you all. You all need us because we got our own bank here. We got everything here. And Somalis, they got like a buying group. They buy there and they support their people. And everyone, if one of them comes, that one brother will work hard here. And in no time, he'll have three other shops and he'll bring three of his other brothers from that side of us. And that's how they're feeding them. And this thing. But the only downside of this whole episode is whatever they make here, the money goes back to their homeland. That is the problem, because they're not paying the dues what for the infrastructure of this country, the dues where tax, the tax was supposed to be paid into the country. All that is not happening. That is a problem that I'm not happy with, because end of the day, you can't come and milk South Africa and do make business here and do roaring business here, and whatever proceed comes out, you're sending it back to your country. And what about our infrastructure, our lights, water? All these infrastructure needs money, and the taxation for to up to to bring the country to a different standard. You need all that. So this is the only problem, because they're coming here and they're just making money and they're sending the money across.
Great chat on the Straight Talk with you, Ahmed, this morning. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go.
Shafak, on the 17th and 18th of November, there will be the voter registration. We need to now, you know, with all the messages that is coming through, they're asking, we want to fix South Africa. We want to do things in South Africa. We want to stay here. We don't want to leave South Africa. But now you have to get the right people. Vote for the right people. Get the people in government, and they will be accountable to you because you voted for them. And at the end of the day, they need to give us the make sure it happens. Because otherwise, if you're not going to fight for this country, and then we're going to be in big trouble, Shafak.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. Really a great morning with you. You have a beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.